Hi guys, this is Tom Wakeling, bassist, coming to you from the beautiful Highland Jazz Auditorium, here to give you some thoughts about your performance, some tips that I hope will be helpful. So here we go. So this is a great tune, great chart, and the original arrangement was written for the Thad Jones and Mel Lewis Big Band. So there's a recording of this that is really a great recording and would give you some really good information about sort of how to interpret it. In the rhythm section, particularly, sort of what was going on and how they were approaching it on the drum and, you know, drum and bass piano side. So there's some real, you know, important stuff that you guys should do on the, in the woodwinds and brass just to keep developing your sound and your ability to play in balance and in tune and have the appropriate voices, like the lead voices, heard above the rest. And so saxes, you guys need to be playing long tones every day, like 15, 10 minutes. Trombones and trumpets, pedal tones and lip flexibility exercises, lip slurs. You find them in the Clark studies or Arban studies, A-R-B-A-N-S. And what that'll do, and everybody has to do them. It doesn't work if one or two people don't do them. Everybody has to do them because it's a matter of building. It's a matter of building a tone and control so that you can play in tune at all dynamic levels. So you can, you know, when you have do-da-da-da-do-da-da-ba-ba-ba-do-that, so that you can hear all that stuff and that the main thing is coming through clearly. We've got to really make sure and not to cover up the lead voice with the other instruments. So there's two elements there. The main thing or the lead voice needs to be nice and strong, and the other thing or the other voices need to listen around them and not play louder than the lead voice or the main thing. So also, it's really important to listen to jazz recordings of the greats, and especially a tune like The Groove Merchant, which is, also you got Little Darlin' on here. There's like well-known recordings, well-known sources to research when you take a tune like this. So, you know, you should know exactly what to do. And one of the cool things about playing in the rhythm section is your parts aren't, a lot of the times, they aren't totally notated, unlike the horn section where everything is notated except maybe someone's solo. with you guys, you've got a lot of stuff that isn't on the part necessarily that you can play, but so it's sort of cool because you get to make your own stuff up. But the downside is if you don't know what to do and when to do it, then it can, you know, you can be inappropriate. You can do inappropriate stuff. And so I would encourage you to get that Thad Jones, Mel Lewis big band recording of Groove Merchant and play along with it, particularly on the drums, and capture the character of what's going on there. It's really, there's a lightness that band played with in the rhythm section, but also in the brass and saxophones, that is really, really important to get all the way around. So check that out. I think it'll be helpful. Got to blow, you guys. You got to put a lot of air through those horns. You need to get a nice, big, fat sound. I don't mean loud. I just mean a great, big, full sound. Again, long tones, pedal tones, lip slurs will help that happen. So Count Basie made this famous, Count Basie's band. Another great thing to check out. You guys are on the right track on this one, definitely. Again, one of the things that's really an important ingredient is, you know, to have things in tune and balanced and blended, and not having like a middle voice, you know, a third part or second part or something stick out from the section. So those are all sort of the issues you guys think about and check out and work on improving. Remember that with intonation, you know, with pitch, you have to adjust as you go. You have to listen and adjust. And it will always be changing. We're always constantly adjusting pitch when we tune. Concert A or B or whatever, it's going to be a teeny bit different depending on what function, what part it is in the chord, you know. It's going to be, if it's a fifth, if an A is the fifth in a chord, you're going to play in a little bit different place than if it's the third of a chord. If it's the minor third of a chord, it's going to be a little bit different than if it's the major, it's going to be a little bit different than if it's a major third of a chord, you know. You have to really, really listen all around you and go. And what we're looking for is a purity of sound. It's almost like when you tune up and you have those vibrations, those pulses, and they go, you know, and you're tuning and it's going, and when it slows down and finally spreads out and gets stable, then it's in tune. So you have to multiply that times the whole band and get that thing in tune, you know, and it's going to just constantly change. So you have to constantly listen and constantly adjust. Lots of air, you guys. You gotta fill those horns up. Get some sound out of them. Rhythm section playing along pretty steadily. Nice job. Listen to the great rhythm sections. It's really important to go back and check that stuff out. So go get Oscar Peterson Trio with Ray Brown and Ed Thigpen. There's a couple of great ones, a lot of great ones, but the Trio is one of them. Something Warm is another. Get Ahmad Jamal Trio live at the Pershing. Get Miles Davis Quintet working, cooking, relaxing, and steaming. Four different records from the mid to late 1950s. Really, really important records for all jazz players. Miles Davis Quintet from the early to mid 60s with Herbie Hancock on piano, young 17-year-old Tony Williams on drums, Miles in Europe, My Funny Valentine, and Four and More, three really good albums from that period. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Those are some. Anyway, and you know, I wouldn't try to check it out as much on YouTube as I would to get the records or the CDs or whatever, or download it on iTunes. And listen to it in a focused way, not like while you're playing video games or, you know, cutting the lawn or doing the dishes, you know, but in a focused way. Pick one of the tunes you like from one of those records and listen to it over and over and over again, you know, or one record and listen to it over and over again every day. And you'll start to hear the fine points of what these guys are doing to make the music sound the way it sounds. And then we ask the question, you know, and we listen to a recording of our band, and then we listen to a recording of the real pro guys' bands. What's different? What are they doing to make it sound different than we are? And that's when we can really start to sort of be working our way towards increasing our level, you know, to a higher level. One of the cool things that I love about music is, you know, that we can do that. You know, that we always have so much more to learn and to grow, and there's always so much more work to do. But when we actually commit to do the work as individuals and sort of work our way through the hard work and the frustration and stuff, and then we get better, we you know, sort of climb a mountain and get better, it's just a great feeling. right, guys. Enjoyed hearing your group. I'll look forward to hearing you again.